let's kind of take this back a little bit, because we were talking about you opening up a brand new practice, and especially when you think about like the challenges of getting into new businesses post-COVID seemed like to be even more interesting than what it was pre. And, you know, it's great that you had a background of building up a business within a business, it sounded like, already.
Sure,
so,
yes.
Can we start right there?
Yeah, so at the previous practice I was at, I started the pain management and physical rehabilitation department, and building that up was interesting because I was already doing a full-time job being an anesthesiologist there. Mm. And within that, I wanted to expand my pain management clients. And so they gave me an assistant. You know, the two of us would run around all day. We were scheduling appointments. We eventually were able to get another veterinary nurse that was working with us, and she started working on her certification in rehabilitation, so started going to classes to start doing that, so I was mentoring her through that. The three of us were building up this department. Wow. You know, we were 4 days a week, and we were absolutely fully booked all day long, and plus I was doing anesthesia cases, so I was running around. You know, I was in the water treadmill with a dog working on rehabilitation, and it was in the basement, by the way, our building.
Best way to start.
And I was getting called out to run up to help with an anesthesia case. So I'm literally jumping out in my waders, getting out of my waders, running up the stairs, you know, booking it up the stairs, you know, going to help the anesthesia case, running back down, finishing my rehab case, you know, running out to the owner, letting them know what was going on. And honestly, it was just so much. You know, it was too much. And
I'm sitting here wondering, how's your head still on your shoulders right now?
Like, it was crazy. It was honestly, it was crazy. Yeah. And I loved it. I loved everything I did. I love being an anesthesiologist. I love being a pain management practitioner. I love the rehabilitation part of what I do now. And, you know, and I really love that client interaction. So I decided to leave my job there and just figure out, you know, what I wanted to really focus on, because I loved so many aspects of my job, but doing them all together was just crazy. So, So I left that practice and I just kind of took a minute to figure out exactly what I wanted to focus on.
Yeah.
And that's where the idea for the doggy gym came up. And so I decided to start a standalone pain management physical rehabilitation practice. Mm-hmm. I initially, you know, and I don't know how much, you know,
oh,
but
come on. I'm
I initially had, you know, after I left my practice, being an anesthesiologist, you know, we're kind of in high demand with private practice, right?
Yes.
So I had a lot of job opportunities, fantastic job opportunities, and people that wanted to support my pain management rehab practice. My practice that I was at supported all of what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to get in the same situation that I was in. I wanted to, you know, create something a little different and also have a better quality of life for myself, you know, and set myself up for my next stage of my career that I wanted to do, and focusing on education as well, which is really important to me. So I decided, you know, just to do this myself and, you know, not get into business with anyone else and just start this practice. So I figured out what I needed to do and what I needed to get. And thankfully, you know, it wasn't easy. It was definitely a long process with some ups and downs and, you know, but I was able to start 6 months ago, the Doggy Gym, which is a standalone brick and mortar pain management and physical therapy practice.
Congratulations on that too.
Yeah, thank you. It's been going fantastic. And then on the side, I'm able to do some anesthesia training and consulting, and I'm building up some continuing education things and some programs and wet lab CEs that people, you know, can come and get some training for anesthesia and pain management. And so it's been really fun. I'm definitely living out my best career right now, so I'm very happy with it.
You threw a wrinkle in there for me. I like it though. I like it. So all right, I want to talk about two things.
Yes.
Opportunities and challenges that are going on inside vet rehab in that space in particular, as a practitioner and from the patient's perspective.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's two things that are moving, and this is creating a tidal wave. Hopefully, I'm seeing this based off this conference.
Yeah.
That's already happening. But yeah, could you share what you saw inside the practice as an opportunity for you to launch the Doggy Gym?
I think that there's not enough rehab and pain management available. Mm. I think that the the goal of rehab and pain management is to optimize our patients' lives, right? Yeah. And patients are living longer, they're doing more, they're having more surgeries, they're having more medical procedures, you know, they're becoming geriatrics, they're doing all of these things, and they don't have the outlet of, you know, if they're a general practitioner, even if they love pain management and they love, you know, optimizing their patients' lives, they're seeing like 15, 30 minute appointments if they're lucky, and trying to deal with all of these patients' problems. And I think having, you know, just being a pain management rehabilitation practitioner where I'm able to focus on all of those things and not have to worry about the miscellaneous things. Like, I work so nicely with general practitioners and with other specialists because they focus on what they do. Yeah. And this is my specialty. This is what I focus on. And so I get to do what I do. So I think being able to offer that to the community, you know, is a really cool thing. And I think people, you know, once owners find out, I think most owners don't even understand what they can do for their pets, right? I think that they don't have that knowledge of, wow, this is even available. Like, they have underwater treadmill for animals. Like, this is, you know, this is amazing. My, you know, I get acupuncture, but I didn't know my pet could, you know, it's crazy. So I think educating not only referral vets, but owners on what they have available to them is a challenge for sure. But I think once people find out, then, you know, I'm 6 months into my practice and I'm, you know, knock on something, we're fully booked. You know what I mean? Like, we're, it's gangbusters. It's, you know, we're overbooking. We're trying to keep our lunch hour and, you know, we're constantly overbooking into our lunch hour just so that we can see all of our patients. Yeah, but we're also, you know, I think one thing that I really wanted to do at this practice was to make time and space that I needed for each of my patients. So our consults are an hour and a half long. So I'm able to spend the time with the owners, you know, talking about, you know, what's going on at home, what their goals are. I'm able to evaluate the pet before I even touch it. We're sitting and talking for like 30, 45 minutes. So by the time we actually start interacting, they feel more comfortable. You know, we try and keep it. We use a lot of treats, toys. We have comfortable beds, orthopedic beds in the room. You know, we're rubber floor. We're trying to really make it like a home environment so they feel comfortable. So by the time I'm actually interacting with them, you know, we're already getting along really well. So,
man, that's so important.
Yeah.
I just had Christy Oliver on the podcast and we were talking about
how she's fantastic.
Awesome.
She used to be at the same practice that I left.
This makes a lot of sense
yes.
to me. A lot of things making a lot more sense to me because when you're laying into the fact that you're spending blocking off 90 minutes, right? That's just not what you hear in healthcare.
No.
And one of the top topics that we touched on was how, like, you know, where does most violence happen on the actual job, right?
And
I automatically thought police officers. Like, oh, of course, they're in front lines, they're doing what people are probably having the worst day every day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And and they're showing out. So they
dealing
probably
with a lot of
they
stuff.
Probably see it. But it's healthcare providers, right?
Yeah.
Especially in you know, nurses, especially like in hospitals. And you can that also makes sense. Very similar rationale. And and so to bring able to bring them down, I think, is phenomenal. Give them that space to kind of decompress, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the education part. Because that was a wrinkle I didn't expect to hear today.
Yes.
But as a guy that is a nerd with, like, marketing and branding stuff, I'm like, man, people talk about marketing, and they only talk about advertising.
Yeah.
Like, I got to rank higher. And you're taking this approach.
Absolutely. I think think that there's not enough rehab and pain management available. Mm. I think that the goal of rehab and pain management is to optimize our patients' lives, right?
Yeah.
And patients are living longer, they're doing more, they're having more surgeries, they're having more medical procedures, you know, they're becoming geriatrics, they're doing all of these things, and they don't have the outlet of, you know, if they're a general practitioner, even if they love pain management and they love, you know, optimizing their patients' lives, they're seeing like 15, 30 minute appointments if they're lucky and trying to deal with all of these patients' problems. And I think having, you know, just being a pain management rehabilitation practitioner where I'm able to focus on all of those things and not have to worry about the miscellaneous things. Like, I work so nicely with general practitioners and with other specialists because they focus on what they do.
Yeah.
And this is my specialty. This is what I focus on. And so I get to do what I do. So I think being able to offer that to the community, you know, is a really cool thing. And I think people, you know, once owners find out, I think most owners don't even understand what they can do for their pets, right? I think that they don't have that knowledge of, wow, this is even available. Like, they have underwater treadmill for animals. Like, this is, you know, this is amazing. My, you know, I get acupuncture, but I didn't know my pet could, you know, it's crazy. So I think educating not only referral vets, but owners on what they have available to them is a challenge for sure. But I think once people find out, then, you know, I'm 6 months into my practice and I'm, you know, knock on something, we're fully booked. You know what I mean? Like it's gangbusters. It's, you know, we're overbooking. We're trying to keep our lunch hour and, you know, we're constantly overbooking into our lunch hour just so that we can see all of our patients.
Wow.
Yeah. But we're also, you know, I think one thing that I really wanted to do at this practice was to make time and space that I needed for each of my patients. So our consults are an hour and a half long. So I'm able to spend the time with the owners, you know, talking about, you know, what's going on at home, what their goals are. I'm able to evaluate the pet before I even touch it. We're sitting and talking for like 30, 45 minutes. So by the time we actually start interacting, they feel more comfortable. You know, we try and keep it. We use a lot of treats, toys. We have comfortable beds, orthopedic beds in the room. You know, we're rubber floor. We're trying to really make it like a home environment so they feel comfortable. So by the time I'm actually interacting with them, you know, we're already getting along really well. So,
man, that's so important.
Yeah.
I just had Christy Oliver on the podcast and we were talking about
how she's fantastic.
Awesome.
She used to be at the same practice that I left.
This makes a lot of sense
to
me. A lot of things making a lot more sense to me because when you're laying into the fact that you're spending block off 90 minutes, right? That's just not what you hear in healthcare.
No.
And one of the top topics that we touched on was how, like, you know, where does most violence happen on the actual job, right?
And
I automatically thought police officers. She's like, oh, of course, they're in front lines. They're doing what people are probably having the worst day every day. you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And they're showing out. So they probably see it. But it's healthcare providers, right?
Yeah.
Especially in you know, nurses, especially like in hospitals. And you can, that also makes sense. Very similar rationale. And so to bring you to bring them down, I think is phenomenal. Give them that space to kind of decompress, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the education part. Because that was a wrinkle I didn't expect to hear today.
Yes.
But as a guy that is a nerd with like marketing and branding stuff, I'm like, man, people talk about marketing and they only talk about advertising.
Yeah.
Like, I got to rank higher. And you're taking this approach.
Absolutely. I think that education is so important, whether it is clients, whether it is my staff, whether it is referral vets. You know, I think that being able to explain what we're doing, why it makes a difference for the patients, and helping them to understand really what's going on, right?
Yes.
Because I think it's so important. We can say, oh yeah, we have, you know, shockwave therapy at our practice.
That's right.
But unless they understand, like, well, what is that good for? What does it really do? Is it, you know, how long should we expect to be sending this patient over there for? You know, what should they expect? And so I think having that education is so important. So, you know, for me, we're actually going to start doing both client labs, right, where we have clients come in, we teach them about the importance of therapeutic exercise, what this is doing for their pets, what are some easy exercises they can do.
Open to like the actual community?
Open to the community, right? So the community of pet owners. We're going to have a massage course where we teach owners, you know, here are some massage techniques you can use at home for your pet, and what is it doing, and how is it actually helping them, right? Let's talk about supplements. Let's talk about what are the right ones to use. What are the ones that you're picking up on the shelf at Petco? You know, how do you scrutinize the supplement? Because there are a lot of good ones, but there's even more bad ones, right? And so, you know, how do you scrutinize that? So we're going to have these kind of little series labs for owners to come in. And then my goal in late 2024 is to start having some labs for vets. So, you know, have the vet come in. These vets have lasers in their practice, you know, and techs.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really know how to use them? Do they know what kind of settings to use? You know, let's give them some tips and techniques on how to optimize the care that they're giving to the patients and what they're actually doing, right? Rather than just wanding a laser over their back, should they be focusing on certain areas, and how do they figure out how to focus on those areas? So that's going to be one. We're going to do one. I actually teach at some different conferences. I teach joint injection and local block wet labs.
Yes.
And so I'm going to do that at the doggy gym. So we're going to have local vets come in if they want to learn how to do nerve blocks. They're doing a lot of dentals. They want to be able to do that. If they're doing, you know, limb procedures and they want to learn how to do rum blocks or, you know, sciatic femoral nerve blocks. Maybe we'll even elevate that to ultrasound guided, you know, teaching soon. If I'm lucky enough to be able to purchase my ultrasound this year, which is on my wish list. But you know, so I'm glad that I'm able to give myself the time now to start focusing and letting my educational kind of creativity come out and try and figure out how I can help the vet community, both vets, techs, owners, everyone.
I love so much about this. You can probably, I'm not sure if my face was showing, but like while you were talking, I'm sitting here like, man, I'm thinking multiple questions. Like, how many businesses have you had in the past? Because this is like a masterclass on how you really going about educating your community, like locally, about how to understand your value, right? Like, and this will keep price integrity. This will keep people understanding how you're different than the person that's in the same class as you around the corner. And that the fact that you're educating the people, the vets in particular, on how to use some of the same tools that you may have. Oh, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm starting with a small brick and mortar practice, right? We're 1,800 square feet.
Love it.
This is my first business I've ever owned.
You told me you had 20 other businesses, I believe.
No, I definitely
have. I believe everything.
No, I'm new to all of this. You know, I'm learning as I go. I definitely put a little bit of thought into it. You know, thankfully I was able, I gave myself that time after I left my practice before I started the doggy gym to just take some time to focus on what was important to me and what I wanted to do. So giving myself that time and space was really important because without that, I don't think I would be where I am. And as much as I loved the practice I was at and loved what I was doing, absolutely, you know, I'm so passionate about my career.
Yes.
I think leaving that practice was the best thing I could have done for my career. And now, you know, I'm able to have these opportunities to do things and be at conferences like VMX, you know, and be able to teach people about pain management. So, you know, yesterday I talked on geriatric pain management, neurophysiology of physical medicine, right? How it works, how all of this stuff works, and then oral analgesics and supplements. So, you know, I think these are all passions, and I think I've been lucky enough to be educated in them, and now I'm just trying to pass it on so other people can be too.
What was the whole, like, the response, like, from the actual crowd, from the workshops and education?
I mean, I think everything's been great, you know, and I think one really cool thing is the more people that then come up to me after these workshops or wet labs or conferences or anything, it opens to new opportunities, right? Yeah. So I think it's so cool that we're in a community of people that are really passionate about what they're doing. And there's so many different applications that, you know, you can apply.
Yeah.
And so I think the opportunities that have even come from that have just further accelerated all of the things that I'm trying to do. And, you know, so I'm always open to new opportunities, and I'm not in a set way that this is exactly what I want to do or how I want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be flexible and see what the best way moving forward is.
I love a lot what I'm hearing from you. I mean, I mean, obviously, we had Cindy link us up, and Cindy knows everybody, I feel like, in this vet industry
fantastic.
World.
Fantastic, yes.
And like, there's a reason she brings people on the show. She has an agenda, because she doesn't just kind of
grab
people off the street and bring them on. And she just doesn't do that.
Hey, you.
You got some time? You got 30 minutes? Come here. Got to talk.
Oh, my God.
So, but what was your process like when you were going through your strategy? I'm trying to help out other founders and other brand new business owners, because I think that you putting this effort into education, obviously this, you've been doing this now, you're teaching as well.
Yeah.
But boy, I can't downplay this. I don't want to skip over this.
You know, when people come up to me after lectures or things like that, or just come and talk to me in general, and they say, hey, I want to get into this. What you do sounds so cool.
Yep.
You know, how do I get into this? And I say, listen, you know, I started with one thing that I was really passionate about, and I went down that avenue, mm-hmm. and then just be open to where that avenue leads you, right? Start somewhere, start small. If it's, you know, joining the, you know, pain management organization, IVAPM, if it's joining IVAPM and then seeing kind of who you meet through that and where that leads you, if it's jumping into getting your rehab certification, your acupuncture certification, you know, your, just take it one step at a time. If it's just doing some continuing education and finding out a little bit more about a certain topic and then seeing where it fits into your practice and what you want to do. If you truly want to start your own practice, do it. I think that there's enough veterinarians, there's enough people who want good veterinary care. And if you have a passion and a drive to do something, don't stop. You know, it's hard. And I think I was blessed and lucky and, you know, able to do the things that I did, but I worked really hard for it. And I hustled, you know, during that year that I took to really think on what I wanted to do, I was working emergency shifts and hustling around doing, you know, some anesthesia consulting. And, you know, I was working hard to be able to take the time that I needed to then focus on, you know, my next steps. So it, you know,
well,
budgets help.
Having the budget conversation is important.
Oh man.
You know, but I do like that you shared that hustle element and the element of it sounded like some things probably didn't all work out. So it's not one of the smooth path.
They definitely didn't. You know, I had initially, you know, tried to get a startup business loan and it initially did not work out. You know, I'm like many veterinarians have a massive amount of student loan debt, you know, that is just a big suitcase weighing on my back for sure. So the banks didn't really look at that very favorably at first. And I own my own home. I thought about taking out a home equity line of credit. I thought about, you know, doing all these different things.
Yep.
And I just kept at it. I kept looking at my options. I kept talking to the bank and letting them know, you know, my thoughts and ideas. And eventually, you know, my third time trying at one bank, it came through. And I was lucky because you don't need a lot of money to start a pain management rehab practice and do a good job.
Yeah.
But the way I wanted to do it, I needed a little bit of money. And so I'm thankful that I was able to start it the way that I did. And I do think that the bank startup practice loan was really helpful in all of that, for sure.
It definitely seems like it played well into your thought process of, one, giving that time and space for the patients and the clients to come in and kind of decompress, right?
Yes.
And you mentioned having like padded floors, you know, therapeutic mm-hmm. beds, and like Lambu was like, all right, I can hang here for a little bit. This is not like someone's warehouse in the back, you know?
Absolutely. I know. I had looked into vans. Yeah. I had looked into, you know, had looked into refurbishing, you know, little places. I actually was starting my business out of, you know, another practice, and, you know, just trying to start seeing cases and, you know, getting, you know, kind of, get the ball moving. And again, I think that there's so many different ways you can do it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people already are in practice or want to just incorporate pain management and rehab into their practice. And I promise you, that is so easy to do. You literally need your hands and your brain, and that's all you need to start doing it.
Well, you know, and let me talk about that for a couple of seconds. I think that's an important conversation, because a lot of what I've heard over time is that how vet medicine has been done over the years is different than how, like, the vet rehab and pain management side, as far as the actual patient experience, right? The client experience. Any words of wisdom for those clinics that are like, hey, we just want to add it in? Like, is it a whole different?
Again, I think that it just takes the right people, right? It takes those people that are passionate about doing it, not passionate about creating the program just to have the availability for the program in their practice, right? Like, just getting a laser and assigning someone to doing laser therapy on patients isn't like starting a pain management practice in your hospital. You have to have those nurses that are passionate about it and the doctors that are passionate about it, and then support them in getting the education that that they need, right? Yeah. So send them to the continuing education, to the conferences focusing on that. Send them to the certification programs. Like, get them knowledgeable. Because if they're then knowledgeable, again, it's so nice to have the fancy equipment and the fancy tools and all of that. I'm not going to lie. I love, you know, having all of the fancy tools that I have.
Yeah.
That being said, you don't need any of that to do good pain management and physical rehabilitation, right? You literally need your hands and your brain, and you need to be educated about what you're doing, and it will translate to your patients 1,000%.
Well, yeah. And, yeah. I want to hear more about where you're planning to take your business in the future, because Doggy Gym, I think, is a great, it's a nice name, right?
Yeah,
I think it's something I can see throughout nationwide if you want to go there. But you've also incorporated a lot of great tools, underwater treadmills, lasers, PiezoWave. How is this being baked into how you operate now and
future? You know, my goal of starting the Doggy Gym was to create a place of pain management and physical rehabilitation excellence, right? I want to elevate the amount of science-based, evidence-based, you know, just good medicine. I want to focus on that. I want to focus on good patient outcomes, supporting the community that I'm in, educating, and, you know, so I see this hopefully in 3 to 5 years, you know, being not this 1,800 square foot, you know, place in a mall next to a gym that is quite loud, let me tell you. Thankfully, they are not there during the day, but in the morning and the evening, they are quite loud. It's party time. So my goal in 3 to 5 years is to find a more larger standalone place where now we are creating this pain management rehab, you know, center of excellence, place for education where people can come and train, do labs, you know, learn how to do ultrasound guided techniques, learn how to do joint injections, learn about physical medicine, and, you know, really just push the education of pain management and rehabilitation for the veterinary world.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I think about this, and I think about where the world is going with, I'm a guy that likes to play with all these AI tools and all that, mental, all that. I waste my time, probably too much time.
Yeah.
On those different softwares that are coming out, right?
I'm with you.
And I'm just like, man, there's not too many places I have to go physically anymore.
Yes.
Like, I don't have to. Amazon has pretty much 90% of what I'm looking for.
Right.
And if it's not Amazon, there's another website where I can buy my couch and everything, whatever else I need, right?
Exactly.
So one of the biggest values of having a private practice is, like, I kind of need to go there.
Yes.
Like, I can't do a hologram thing that's going to work. You know,
right.
Like,
absolutely.
Me and my guy Jasper, who's my little boss, Terry, he has to go in with me. Like,
I love that.
It's an experience, right?
Yes.
And one of the few local experiences I have to have.
Yes.
And so when you talk about education and the community, I'm just like, oh, man, eating it up here.
You know, like, no, I'm with you. And I think it's, you know, best, you know, medicine leads to best practice, right?
Yep.
So it's putting the medicine first and really focusing on doing a good job with that. And the practice is coming along with it, right?
Yep.
And we're 6 months in, we're doing great. You know, we're thankful to have some fantastic clients, some fantastic patients. And I just want to see it keep growing and building.
Well, you're booked. And I think you just gave people like a short outline of how the majority of vet rehab places that might be struggling with this idea of, man, I need to get more awareness in my backyard. I need people to understand the value of this. Education seems to be the way.
Yeah.
And that seems to work for a lot of people. But this model is one I think hopefully more will just grab onto. So,
I hope so.
Doc Molina, this is great meeting you. And it's great having you on the show. And please tell everybody how to find you if they have any questions. They want to reach out to you for any reason.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Yeah. So, if anyone wants to find us, they can come to our website, thedoggygym.net.
Love it.
And they can email me. It's drzimmerman@thedoggygym.net. So if anyone has questions about starting a practice, about adding physical medicine to their practice and pain management, you know, about anything. There's clients listening that just want to talk about their pets. Definitely reach out, and we're here to talk to you.
Love that. I mean, it's great that you have a valuable resource that's actively doing it for the community. I think that means a lot when you're a practitioner. So thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe.